Women's Shir Chavis Halvava, Sunday afternoon, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, Chav Gimel, Mar Cheshvan, Sunday afternoon, November 16, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. Okay, we're learning Chavis Halvava, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, we're in Perek Gimel, where he lists 30 things to think about, because the Chavis HaLevavos' definition of Cheshbon HaNefesh is not the classical one. Classically, it has come to mean, almost in the word Cheshbon HaNefesh is almost, you make a mathematical Cheshbon from the word, from the mathematics word of Cheshbon, and I look over my past day or my past month or my past week, year, whatever the case may be, and I make a cheshbon where I'm holding in the world, how am I doing. You see from the Chavis HaLevavos, the way he presents each cheshbon is that he's taking the word cheshbon more to mean machshava, not cheshbon mathematics, but thoughts. Cheshbon HaNefesh are things you should think about. And he wants a person to be a thinking person and to think about things. Part of the structure of Chavis HaLevavos, as opposed to Chavis HaEvarim, is that Lev, Rabbi Victor Miller Zatzal, actually translates Lev as mind in the title. And he says throughout Tanakh, Lev means mind. So in the Rabbi Avigdor Miller translations of Chavis HaLevavos, which is ongoing, they finished Shaar Avodas Elokim now. They should be finished with Shaar HaBitachon sometime in the winter, they say. So he calls it duties of the mind, not duties of the heart. Lev means heart, literally, and it's not so rachok, because there's different kinds of knowledge, and there's Lev, I think, is more intuitive knowledge, where it's like settles in, and it's intuitive more than analytical. And maybe you start off with analytical knowledge, but ultimately you want to have intuitive knowledge where you can intuit what the right thing to do is, what's kosher, what's not kosher, not restaurants. I'm talking about in hashkafa, in life. If you don't know, you ask someone that does know. But so it really means lev, but it's because even in the Goyish literature and science, they amode that the mind is just a machine, an analytical machine. But then there's an area of knowledge that's more sublime, where I say, maybe call it intuition, call it where you just have this, you're into it. So he has 30 things he wants you to think about, and then he says there's just 30 things, but it's limitless. The things you can think about when you walk in the street, the things you can think about when you have time, the things you should make time to think about are really limitless. But he puts it down to 30, and these 30 really represent a complete review of the entire Sefer. If you want to cheat and you don't want to learn the Sefer, you can learn these 30 things, and you've gone through the whole Sefer. In Cliff Notes, I don't know if anybody in here knows what Cliff Notes is. May have to be old to know what Cliff Notes is. It's a bit more. For example, 27 and 28 that we're struggling with, we're at the end. 27 and 28 that we're struggling with, he doesn't talk about in the rest of the Sefer. Maybe a little in Shaar HaBitachon, but not much. 27 and 28, I say them in tandem, because they are two different ways of looking at problems in life, obstacles in life, tragedies in life, as the Chavis HaLevavos says, things that you would rather not have happened, l'chatchila. But are you supposed to feel that way? So in everyone's life has these things, whether it's a tragic death, or a job, or relationships, or anything, health, money, finances, where you live, a lot of disappointments in life, things that if we think that if we were writing the script, we would have written the script differently in order for our happiness, to be happy. But that's wrong, very, very wrong. But there's two different approaches he takes, and that's what we're in the middle of discussing, the difference between 27 and 28. They're different, and it's just a little strange. We're going to talk about that today. So it's strange that he would just give two different ways of dealing with it, two different hashkafas. What's my hashkafa if I have a tragedy in my life? And then he says two different things, l'chora. 27 is, I want you, says the Chavis HaLovis, to be makabalit basimcha, which is, we won't go over everything again, very, very difficult, almost probably superhuman. Not to be makabalit because Hashem is stronger than me, so what can I do? You know, I throw up my hands and I say, okay, Hashem, you're the boss, you know, what can you do? That's not good, he says, and you don't get any merit for that. Maybe you get a merit for Amuna nowadays, because now there's a struggle for Amuna, just basic Amuna, to say it didn't just happen by itself, Chas v'Shalom, it's not a mikre, it's Hashem. So that gets you, nowadays, it gets you some brownie points, but the Chavis HaLovis is very unhappy with that. It's far from the way it's far from the way a Jew is supposed to think. And really, it's just the Gemara. And I said many, many times. The Gemara says that when you make a Dayan Emes, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Dayan Emes, you're supposed to say it Besimcha. That's a din. And it's in the Shulchan Aruch. And it's in the Gemara. And according to the Gemara, it's in the Mishnah. You know, it's a basic, basic din. And Besimcha means, thank you Hashem. Gratitude. Grateful. Simcha. And why? Because everything Hashem is a mativ, and that's part of our belief that Hashem is a mativ. I said, if you need a source for that, it's probably the best source I can think of is Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. Why did the Pasuk have to keep saying that every single day? Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. Well, who cares? Like, what's the difference? It's important that it be Tov. It is Tov. It must be Tov. Hashem is a mativ. That's Ramchal. If you don't know how Ramchal knows it, or who said, well, Lachta Bedrochov means I have to be a mative. I have to give, and that's part of my Hatova, is Lachta Bedrochov. A major part of Lachta Bedrochov is to be a mative also. And then on Yom Shishi it says, V'yelukim is kolash harosov, V'yelitov ma'ot, like the whole, everything. So you have to realize that. And he says, Avram Avinu's Nisyonos was to deal with the things besimcha. And the Avera of the Dor HaMidbar was the bickering, the Telunos, the fact that they didn't accept it besimcha. They were upset, they were angry, they were resentful. That's number 27. When things happen to you, you have to set your mind to realizing it's Tov. It can be Tov in many ways. It can be Kaparas Averus. That's always like almost a default position to take. You say a Kapara, but you have to mean it. You have to be Besimcha. You say thank you Hashem, because the punishment in Olam Haba is far, far worse, far, far worse than anything that can be conjured up for us in Olam Hazeh. So you have to think about that, you have to visualize it, you have to believe it, you have to be shalem with that. Then there are things that we could look back, maybe not a day later, although sometimes a day later, sometimes a week later, sometimes a month later, sometimes 10 years later, and you say, oh, Baruch Hashem, I didn't marry that person, Baruch Hashem, I didn't get that job. Now I see that because I lived here and not there, I met this person and that person became my friend, and that had such a strong influence on my life, and that was so wonderful. I don't know, I got fired from a job and I ended up the Rav of the Shul, so there's always exceptions, I guess, to every rule. And so there's, you know, you look back and you see it's Tov. So you see the Tov. Sometimes you're not Zochet to see the Tov. Sometimes it's good for your neshama. Talked about this in shul, I think, 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago. Sometimes it's good for your neshama. Hashem wants us to grow. Hashem wants us to steig. Hashem wants us to become better people. And coping with problems is many ways the way we become better. The Imos didn't have children for 10 years, only to get them to daven more intensely. It's like, it's amazing when you think about it, because their whole purpose was they wanted to be Imos. They wanted to have, whether it's the Shvatim or they wanted to have children to become Klal Yisrael. Imagine the frustration. Can't imagine. And it was just to get them to a higher Madrega of Tefillah. So Hashem is a meitiv. That's 27. I want you to besimcha, besimcha. Then 28, he takes a different tack. I won't say a completely different tack, but in 28 he seems to be talking about the same thing: tragedies, problems, issues, things. The upshoot of 27, by the way, is that a person, it's horrible. It's horrible to say, I wish it didn't happen. Really. We talked about why do you daven. I don't want to go back into that. There's reasons to daven, very valid reasons. Maybe that's what Hashem wants from you, is to daven. So we're not going to revisit that issue, but it's a very good question, actually. But the point is, you would never say, I wish it didn't happen. If I was writing the script, I would have written a different script. That's a terrible thing to say. I mean, we all say it, we all think it, maybe. This is avoda. This is an avoda. It doesn't happen in a day, it doesn't happen. You have to learn Shara HaBechina to realize how Hashem is always meitiv to us. Always meitiv. That's why he wrote Shara HaBechina, and that's what the purpose of Shara HaBechina, part of the purpose of Shara HaBechina is. In 28, he says something else. He says, listen, who does everything belong to? Hashem. Who do my children belong to? Hashem. Every friend I have is Hashem. Every person I know is Hashem. Every shekel I have is Hashem's, right? And we work on that and we believe it and we say, L'cha Hashem, Ahoshev, HaKavod, Mufanecha, my kavod is Hashem's. Everything is granted to me by Hashem. So, if he takes it away, says the Chavit HaLavos, what do you want? What do you want? If someone gives you something, and if you give someone something, that's his mashal. If I give someone something, I give someone money, and I give someone a building, or I give someone a sada, so he does what he wants with this. I don't have tainus to him. So what, right? I gave it to him, and it's a matana gemura, and now it's his, and he can do with it what he wants. It belongs to him. I wouldn't feel resentful. I gave it to him clean. When we wrap our heads around the fact that, in a sense, we're giving to Hashem everything we have, you know, we are convinced, and we internalize that's giving to Hashem. That's Akedus Yitzchak. Even my son belongs to Hashem. This is the idea. He doesn't bring down this pasuk, but this is the statement. Hashem, it's not a pasuk. It's Eov. I'm sorry, it is a pasuk. Hashem nosan v'Hashem lokach, yishem Hashem mevorach. Hashem nosan v'Hashem lokach. It's not mine, it's his. His mashal of giving someone something and the person can do what he wants with it is my conceptualizing that it belongs to Hashem. That's giving it to Hashem. That's what he calls giving it to Hashem. I'm convinced it's real. And that was really Akedah Yitzchak. You know, when I was a kid, I thought the sign of the Akedah was that he told Avram to kill Yitzchak. And, you know, is he going to listen to Hashem or not? Then I realized, he didn't tell him to kill Yitzchak. That would have been, I don't know if Avram would have listened. Like, why should I kill Yitzchak for? Just because he told me to, so to speak. He told him to bring him as a korban. He didn't say, and murder him. Hashem wouldn't say that. I happen to believe that Avram wouldn't believe that Hashem was talking to him. He would think he's hallucinating. Hashem wouldn't tell him to kill someone. Bring him as a korban is rational. It's a rational thing to do. When we bring a carbon, I spoke about this in Shul, when we bring a carbon, we're declaring that everything I own belongs to Hashem, because by them, an animal, see, we don't live in that world where animals are anything, just pets, you know, but they lived in a world, animals like the equivalent of electricity. Like if you say, what would we do without electricity? I couldn't do anything, I couldn't move, I couldn't do anything, well, without oxygen, you know, so animals were everything. Animals was food, animals was clothing, animals, that was their whole life, was so live around animals. That's what made things grow from the ground. They couldn't do anything without animals. So you bring a carbon, you bring a shor or a seth, right, or an aisle, or an aze. So bring your son. I want you to declare, I want you to make a statement that your son belongs to me. He's a korban ola, a makrivit Hashem, because it belongs to Hashem. It was rational. It's just Hashem, Avram spent his life teaching people that Hashem doesn't want that, right? He draws the line at human sacrifice, because he doesn't want that. And now all of a sudden Hashem says, I do want it. Okay, that was Soyon, many say, but the point is it was rational. Bring him as a carbon is rational. Hashem nosum, Hashem lokach. Once I wrap my head around, I give it to Hashem. So that's really Vayido Maharon. That's what we said last week. Nadav and Avihu die, and Vayido Maharon. He's quiet. It doesn't say Vayismach Aharon. I don't know if it would have said that. But that's this number 28. Number 28 elicits Vayido Maharon. Now that's different than 27. 27 is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hayom Melech Haolam Dayanu Emes B'Simcha. It's good. Maybe I don't know why it's good, but I believe it's good. And then one day I will hope to find out why it's good, and I know it's good. Hashem is a meitiv, and I'm besimcha, and I'm on board. Thank you, Hashem. I go out, and Avigdor Miller says, I dance a little jig. Why? Because I just lost $100,000. Thank you, Hashem. That's it. Number 28 says, it's like I'm numb. It's not no gay on me. That's what he wants you to say in number 28. It's not relevant to me. It's not mine. The book be Hashem doesn't Hashem lokach. So then that doesn't elicit simcha. That's a different way of dealing with it. I'm not saying it's a contradiction, but it's surprising that he presents them both. And now here's what's surprising. If you look inside, if you have a text at the end of 28, he says as follows. The last few lines. If you are menadiv things to Hashem, meaning you are convinced and you understand that it all belongs to Hashem, so you can't be ba'avelus on anything he does to you, his will. Because it belongs to him. Why are we bavelus over a mace? That's the Ramban explains in Chumash. That's, first of all, it's covered hamace. We show that there's a void in our lives, so it's the cover that we show. And also the Ramban says it's no different than if someone goes away on a long trip, you miss them. That's also, you cry and you feel bad and you do acts to show that you feel bad. Just like when people go on a long trip, people cry. Right? They take a voyage. They're going away for 2 years. So you cry. Because you're going to miss them. The Meneno told, now he says as follows. So here's my question. Why does he say what he says next? He then says, the Meneno told the Chabanira Mimenu, if you can't see why it's good, I will roy lecha shetenuach daitcha olav. You should calm down, relax. Vetismoch al hanagasa ameula. Rely on Hashem that He knows what He's doing. Ugzeiros dino. The al tachzor. Don't retract b'meshen osata lo mishalcha. Don't retract from that very powerful, proper hashkafa that everything I have belongs to Hashem. Don't retract that. Don't say, because you get upset. You can get so upset at the loss of something dear to you or someone dear to you that, you get upset. So he says, don't backtrack from that. Don't start feeling, oh, Hashem took something away from me. No, he didn't. I mean, he did, but he took away from you what he gave you. K'mo she'ato sofer. Valtira hatzar beis kzardino alecha. Don't show tzar, he says. Koshken shato echad miyitzurav. You're just one of his creations. It's there's no entitlement to anything, right? You shouldn't have a sense of entitlement because there is no entitlement. We're not entitled to anything. Umatrifcho manhigcho betovloch. Like, why does he say that now for? This doesn't seem to be the point of this, of number 28. He says, he's doing what's good for you, begiluyach uveministarach, v'nelam emcha adover, if you don't understand why it's good, so that's all, too bad, it's good. Kamo shomar v'anochi tergalti le'efrayim kochem alzro osov, v'lo yodu ki refosim. It was good for them, and I was merape them, through, and they didn't realize it, and I don't know, that's good. So he throws in here at the end, that, and even if you can't figure out why it's good, but you can trust Hashem, it's good. I'm not 100% sure. You could say some people can live with 27, some people can live with 28. For some people 27 is easier, and for some people 28 is easier. That's one mahalach. I don't think so. He would have, he's presenting us with 30 things. So I think that 28 is a higher madrega, but with one caveat, because he throws in at the end, you can rely on Hashem, it's probably good, it's good, you can rely on him. 27 is more human. Even though it's superhuman, but it's more human. In other words, I can't live with it. I can't deal. This is my pshat. I don't know. It's difficult. I'm bothered by why he says 27 and 28. Like 27 must be true because it says in the Gemara you have to say it b'simcha. 28 must be true because it says Hashem Nosam Hashem Lokach, which doesn't produce simcha. Hashem Nosam Hashem Lokach produces. Almost apathy. It's not like, yeah, me. It's not relevant to me. Not because Hashem can do what he wants. Because it belongs to Hashem. It's very important to understand that in number 28. It's because it's so real to me that everything belongs to Hashem, so then, I have no say in the matter. So I think 27 is easier. This is what I think. I really think 27 is easier because it's more human, because we want to believe it's good. We want to know it's good. We want to, if it's not good, we could not handle it. So even if we're able to say it's good, but I don't know why it's good, but Hashem is a meitiv and it's good, if we can reach that madrega, we're talking about really, I mean, we're not talking about lip service, we're talking about really believing that. So that's good. 28 is harder. 28 is deeper and harder and a higher madrega. This is my suggestion. Because I'm saying it's not even mine. And that's, like, I'm a salek myself from the whole parsha. It's not mine. So why does he have to say it? It's a higher madrega. Because we do have a sense of possession, we have a sense of self, we have a sense of ownership, certainly ownership is in the Torah. So to just say Hashem Nosam Hashem Lokach, it's like easier, I believe, to say, I believe this is good for me. Hashem is doing something good for me. Maybe I'll find out why it's good, maybe I won't, maybe I have to use the default good of Kaparos Averos. But I'm happy, I know it's good, I believe it's good. We're talking about erlich, sincere people who work on these things. No one's gonna be able to say this and believe it if they don't work on it. It's an avoda. It's an avoda. And I think 28 is a bigger avoda. To be so convinced that it belongs to Hashem, that it's like not no gay at you. So why does he throw, I think that's a higher madrega. Vayid Omaron, I think, is a higher madrega than being mekabelet b'simcha. The Gemara says being mekabelet b'simcha because it's told. I think that's for human superhumans. But for superhumans, then it's vayid Omaron Hashem Nosam Hashem Lokach. So why is he throwing at the end? You can rely on Hashem that it's tov. Because you have to be able to say that. You have to believe it. Because Hashem is a meitiv. You can't be left with Hashem, the mean guy. You can't be left with that. That's what he's speaking it out. So what's the difference between 27 and 28, you'll say? In 27, I make that the point, the engine, I make that the kuda of my dealings with it. How do I deal with tragedy? Number 27 makes the way I deal with it is by believing it's tov, by thinking how it's tov, by trusting Hashem that it's tov, thinking about Shar HaBechina, thinking how much Hashem does for me, thinking about Kaparas Averis, reading stories about how things turned out to be tov, maybe a day later, maybe a few hours later, maybe 10 years later, I see how it's tov. Maybe it's good for my neshama. You think about all these things in Yavod, then you have to be sincere, and it's tov. That's what does it. That's what kicks in the cheshbon 27. That's what kicks it in. Think 28 is passive, so to speak. It's not the right word. Hashem nosam Hashem lokach vayido maharom. But of course, I have to be able to say, and that's why the Chavis Lovis throws it in. It's not like Hashem's Ra, but Hashem Nosam, Hashem Lokach. It has to square with my concept of Hashem. Chavis Lovis doesn't want you walking away with a warped concept of Hashem, like saying, Hashem can be Ra, but it's his toy, so he can do what he wants. He can be Ra. That's also treif. Because you have to, it's not true. And Hashem is a mativ. We're not running away from reality here. Hashem is a mativ. But the point of 28 is not to be besimcha because it's tov, but to be able to cope with it, b'chlal, because it's probably tov. I can't, but I don't even have to be besimcha. I'm detached. It's a higher madrega. It's a deeper madrega. It's more connected to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Madrega. It's a detachment because, of course, I have to be able to say it's probably Tov, because Hashem is not Ra. So if I couldn't say that, then I would have a kasha, my emuna would be shaken up. That's what he means, I believe. That's why he throws in, of course it's Tov, but I have to trust Hashem, and I know it's Tov, because we're not trying to shake up people's emuna. But that's not the way I deal with it, by being besimcha because it's tov, so thank you Hashem. I deal with it with a sense of detachment because it's not mine, it's Hashem's, and he can do with it what he wants. And this is what he chose, when he constructed the world, this came out to be tov. We have to keep that emuna that it's tov. But I'm detached from it. I'm not even happy. I don't know, maybe others for him say other pshatim. This is what I think. In 28 you're not even happy because you're detached by Yido Maharo. And that's a higher madrega. It's a higher madrega. So you have both. Some people, again, 27 is superhuman, but it's maybe for human superhumans. And 28 is like really, 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 really high madrega. It's not it's easy to say. We all say it, Every time we make a bracha, we're saying it belongs to Hashem. But to really believe it, and to really live it, which is what Shara Bitachon is all about, to really live it, that it's all, it's Hashem and it's good. So that's hard. Okay, let's continue on to 29. That's what I think is pshat. I struggle with these two. They talk about the same thing. And they give you different hashkafic approaches. And he throws in at the end of 28 that it's tov. Like, what did he do that for? So that's what I think is true. If you have any thoughts, write them to me in an email. If you have any thoughts. You have to learn it inside the text, though. We're not having a philosophy class here. We're having a Chavis HaLovis class. So it should be text-based on what the words of the Chavis HaLovis. If you have to use the Lev Tov or Kapach, that's cool. That's fine. That's okay. Hatisha Le'eshrim, number 29 thing to think about. Number 29 is to consider and think about She is born in Yisro Nafsho Al Gufo. This is a very interesting point. You think about the value of your nefesh versus the value of your guf. And what he's going to proceed to say, he's not saying it in so many words, I'm explaining what he proceeds to say, is everybody wants to excel. I want to excel. I want to be the best that I can be. Maybe I even want to be better than other people. I want to be a top performance. So what does that mean to me? So to most people in the world, it's referring to money, kavod, maybe handsome or beautiful, tall, charismatic. But that's, he says, but when you think about values, you have to always consider that the value of the nefesh far outweighs the value of the guf. So you say, what's a success in life? A success in life, and how do I excel? Is my midos, my neshama, my character, my bitachon in Hashem. To a man, it's how much Torah knowledge he has. That's excelling, because we're talking about the neshama, and the neshama is far more valuable than the guf. And you have to think, and that's what number 29 is, to think about how the neshama is so much more important than the guf, so much more vital, so much more you. Those things, handsome, tall, beautiful, rich, kavod, they're all very transient, and they all don't mean anything ultimately. They get buried very quickly. So think about that. She is born in Yisro Nafsho al Gufo, V'yakir Yisro Ktsas B'nei Adam al Ktsasam. When you observe why some people are considered better than others, so there's more, they excel. So what do they excel? And you could have even a case of that Shodom Echad Shokol K'neged Elef B'nei Adam. One person could be worth 1,000 other people. V'yeda, he takes it from a pasuk. Ki Yisro no einu mikochos gufo. He's not considered like Moshe Rabbeinu with Shokol K'neged, 600,000. We're not talking about how strong he was, and we're not talking about how handsome he was, and we're not talking about how charismatic he was. We're talking about his neshama. Ach mitzad ma'alos nafsho. Kamo shenemar lo David, the people of Israel said to David, ki atok kamonu aseres alofim. We can't afford to lose you in battle. So what, it's not talking about David's charisma, not talking about his gevura. 10,000 people are certainly stronger than David HaMelech. So you have to realize, when you say successful in life, is not the success that gets you headlines, and it's not the success even that gets you kavod. That's not success. Success is succeeding to build up your neshama. The other things are Yetzer Hara, because they're mafursam, and you get kavod, and it's very gishmak, and it washes over you, and you feel good. But that's all shtuyot, and it's transient, and it doesn't even mean anything, because they're really making fun of you when they give you kavod. You think you're getting kavod, you're getting bezyonus. Everybody giving you kavod is making fun of you secretly. And sometimes not so secretly. So he wants you to realize that, you know, you say, what's your career? Are you successful in your career? Your career in life is avodas Hashem, not being a dentist or a doctor or a lawyer or a kablan or keeping a clean house and raising good kids. That's a success in the context of it being avodas Hashem. That's what's a success. And he says, Afki Hanoshim, women as well, Sheishlam Yisram B'yofyon, they take pride in their beauty. Kasher Techsarno Malos Anafashos, and beauty in a woman is Choshev. That's plenty of Gemaras about that. But if they're missing character, neshama, connection to Hashem, Ein Yofyon Noya, then it's disgusting. The Noyon Mizgane. Kamo shamar achacham in Mishlei nezam zohav ba'af chazir ishayyof of the Soros Tab. It's like putting jewelry on a disgusting piece of garbage. We don't see the neshama. The neshama is what counts. The neshama is what Hashem sees. Very, very few people would walk outside with a soiled garment. Right? My wife's trying to make me one of those people. Right, but we don't mind walking outside with a soiled neshama. and when we talk lashon hara, or we lie, or we do things we shouldn't do, or we don't do what we should do, and neshama gets soiled. That's in the psukim, in the mefarshim, our begadim, our neshamas get dirtied. So and we walk outside, and we don't think of that. What's your career? This is what I do. Are you successful at your career? Yeah. And then we think about professional success. That's not a Jew has to train himself or herself to think that success is in the neshama. Success is in ruchnius. Success is in midos tovos, character, midos tovos. Yes, I'm more patient than I was a year ago. I get less angry than I did a year ago. I daven more kavana than I did a year ago. That's success. Not how much money you have, how beautiful you are, how handsome you are, how charismatic you are, how much kavod you get. So the biggest success in life can get no kavod. Because I say, you don't see the soiled neshama when he walks outside. So we're admiring the guy's Lexus. But we have no tools to admire, or we don't use the tools we have to admire a guy's neshama. So that's what he says, and you have to keep that in mind. The more you recognize b'yisro nafshecha al gufcha, the more you recognize that, so then that's what you'll put your efforts into. Right? People are always looking to professionally advance. You will be looking to, well, if you have to professionally advance to keep up with your field, then you have to do that. That's basic ishtadlus that you're mechuyev to do. You don't want to, or else you're cheating your patients, you're cheating your clients, you're cheating your customers, if you don't keep up with things. So that's part of normal ishtadlus. But it's worse than sad, if that's what you spend your life doing, because that's not, that pales in comparison with the neshama. So you have to keep up with the neshama. Oh, a new Musa Sefer came out. A new insight, right? You have to keep up with your neshama. I'm working on my neshama. I got a new insight. I didn't know this a month ago. I didn't know this. Now I have to know it and internalize it and put it in practice. That's what you should work on, right? People advance the wrong things. They get more kavod, more money, a bigger title, and then neglecting the neshama. The neshama is just good, you know, to do a couple of mitzvahs and die. That's what the Chazon Lakish is coming to negate. Mashkev al schusa v'kedrusa. What does Hashem want to see? He wants to see schusa and the kedrusa, the opposite, v'shivcha v'genusa v'chirasa v'tov v'ra v'netosa v'sichla v'mtavosa, how it deals with the seichel, with the taivus. If you figure out that you spend X amount of time a day on your goof, I'm not talking about hishtadlus now, we're talking about spending time maybe in the gym, right? So you gotta spend time in the spiritual gym. That's more important. Then he says, it's much easier for the goof, lihirapeh, that's a very depressing thought. If it took me 2 years to get a wound and a foot healed, so the Chavis Al-Vos is saying, imagine how long it takes to get a wound in the neshama to heal. It's much harder. He says, the worst of the choli, right? I'll say the word cancer. Like the worst choli, he says, and they had pretty bad choli in the time of the Chavis Al-Vos. They had worse choli than we do now. It's easier to be merapeh yourself refuas haguf than it is from refuas hanefesh if the yesahara grabs you in its clutches. It's harder. It'll take longer to be merapeh. You have to work on it harder. Ruach ish yichalkel machlehu. If a guf of a person is chola, so the seichel takes care of it and sees to it that it gets the refuah. But if the ruach is sick, mi yisrael, who's going to take care of the seichel? you don't have the seichel to take care of it. So amar mikol mishmor natsor libecha, which he's learning is depository of Midos Tovos, of Midos Leif Tov. So that's what you got to watch out for. So the Kitzur number 29 is realize the comparative value of Neshama and Guf, and think about how we work on the Guf. Listen, it's a Guf, not just the gym. We work on Kavod and money and being successful, what we call success. He says it's worth thinking. You do what you gotta do, of course, but then what's your career? What do you want to advance in? I want to advance in Yiras Hashem. I want to advance in Savlonut. I want to advance in Ol Lashon Hara. These are the things that are much more invaluable than matters of the guf. That's number 29. Okay, let's stop here.